Lord, open our hearts and our ears.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, if we have ears to receive, then that's all we need.
Amen.
Lord, you've given us a spirit.
Amen.
A spirit to receive something.
Yes.
To receive facts.
Amen.
To receive the spirit of the facts.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I just pray that this morning that every hearer would receive these facts in reality.
Yes.
Oh, that these would not just be subjective facts, but also objective truths.
Amen.
Lord, these facts are your truths.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, dispense yourself through these facts and root us and ground us in your word.
Amen.
Lord, your word is what guides us.
Amen.
These facts, these truths are our living.
Amen.
They are our bread.
Yes.
They are real and they are permanent.
Amen.
They're a covenant with man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in consideration for these messages, I actually was listening to, I don't know how many of you know of the fireside chats from uni students on YouTube, and I was listening to one, and so the person brought up a fact, or a statement, or a question, I guess, concerning rather or not, or they said they had a problem feeling really dry, feeling really dead, and just, you know, they've been in the church their whole life, that's all they've known. They've had many experiences. But they said they felt dry, and it's because they had no, and the brother said, responded and said, it's because we have no enjoyment. And then I thought, like, well, what is there to enjoy? And then I was like, trying to go through these things, and of course, if I called any of you on the spot to say, name a fact that we can enjoy, it'd be kind of hard. So I was like, what are the facts? And then I remembered this ministry material. This said facts, fact, faith, and experience. And we need these facts.
Yeah.
In this age, everybody has their own facts. There's facts that are misleading or untrue,
yeah.
But then there's some that are true. Whether or not they're true, they can be facts. But then we have these facts. These are eternal facts. These aren't just man-made facts.
Yeah.
We need to know these facts. So when the enemy comes to lie to us and tell us something, convince us that something isn't true, that we're not saved, we can say, well, I know. What did the Lord do when Satan tempted him? He said, the word said. He had the facts of the word.
Yeah.
Paul was chosen in part because he had so much of the word of God in him that he was able to minister to God's people. And so in consideration, and so going into the outline here, there's a couple points. I actually saw one in just another point concerning the pillars of fire and cloud. I realized I never added any Old Testament verses, and I was like, Lord, where are you in the Old Testament? Where's the fact? And then the fact is in Exodus, goes really well. So I'll read this fact here. It's Exodus 13, 21 and 22, and then 14, and I'll tell you those. It says, and Jehovah went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud, this is a fact, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night departed before the people. Neither of them. God remained with them. This says, and Jehovah as a pillar. Jehovah was with them. This is a fact. This is the first fact I'm pointing out this morning, is we have this fact. Jehovah is with us. Another, to add on to that, if you go into 14, so it mentions Christ. Exodus 14, 19, and 20. It says, and the angel of God, this is Christ, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and the cloud was there with the darkness, yet it gave light by night to them. Thus, one did not come near the other all night. So we have God, and we have these pillars. The fire is the word. These are the facts of God's word. The children had the speaking, and they were led by God through the word. And to touch on for experience-wise, we have fact. We have faith that leads us to our experience. And so the experience was is the spirit. So God gave them the Spirit and the Word and Himself.
Amen.
And Christ.
Amen.
These four went before the children of Israel. This is a fact. What I really appreciated with this is that the pillar of cloud and fire are not separate items. They are the same item all the time. There was never a cloud by day and a fire by night. It was the experience of the one who saw it, of the one who believed in it. It was the fact of the word. It was the light that illuminated. They were in night. Where the Lord is, there is no night. This pillar of fire illuminated them, and it protected them. It guided them. The facts guided them. The word guided them. And then the Spirit led them with Christ. So I just really appreciate, I hope that gives us a little bit of a vision of where faith is and where experience is, and that these facts are what guides us in any dark situation. This world is getting darker and darker, but we have the brightest light. We have the Lord Himself. We have Jehovah. We have Christ, the Word who is leading us. Amen. So, and then to kind of frame this whole, to get us in a mindset of how we can experience all three of these messages, somebody brought up the fact of a pilot. And then so when you're a pilot in the clouds, you can't see anything. It's dangerous. If you don't trust your instruments, you're going to crash. You could, one degree off course, off your heading, could lead you into a mountain. A few feet in elevation lower can send you into the mountain. You have to trust that your instruments are correct. To the pilot, the instruments are gospel. They are truth, right? So personally, when you're up in the clouds, I've actually been up in the clouds. It's kind of scary because you get disoriented. But these instruments, I liken these instruments to the Word of God. We have these instruments to guide us, and if we just keep the steady course, we will come out. The pilot has to believe these instruments. These are the gospel, is what I call it. He has to have faith that they're correct and that they'll get him out. And his experience is coming out of it. Amen. So, amen. So let's go ahead and get into the outline here. Whoever has 1 John 4, 8b through 10, go ahead and read it. Amen. The first fact and the greatest fact, God is love and He loves you. Amen. If you get nothing else today, God is love and He loves you. Amen. Not only that, we know that God is love because He manifested His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us our sins. Christ gave His life for those sins. And this we can know that God is love and that He loves us. Amen. Amen. Whoever has 1 John 5:13. Did I give anyone that one?
Yeah. 1 John 5:13. I have written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. To you who believe into the name of the Son of God.
Amen. That you may what?
Know.
Amen. That you may what, Brother Bob?
That you may know.
Amen. We can know these things. These aren't just subjective. These are objective truths.
Right.
This is real. As sure as the sky is blue, we would agree the sky is blue and that gravity keeps us down to the ground.
Yeah.
Rather, we believe in the Lord Jesus or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
The fact remains, Jesus saves you. Amen. And that God is love.
Yeah.
These are immovable,
yeah.
Immovable facts.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read all together Roman numeral 1. God has accomplished everything for man. Since everything has been accomplished, certain facts exist. And since they are existing facts, man does not have to accomplish what has already been accomplished. I just thought of a verse, actually, that the Lord is our faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He initiates it even. So I was going to say, even with faith, we still didn't even do anything. We just kind of received this gift.
Yeah.
So the Lord is the fact, and we faith exists even without us. Amen. And then, I'll read point A. The Lord Jesus has died and has given to us all His righteousnesses, divine virtues, perfections, victories, and beauties. By these we become the same as he is before God, and God accepts us in the same way that he accepts the Lord. This is what he has given to us. These things are facts from the moment we become Christians. And so I think of this as in the terms of a will. When someone's alive, they write a will of all their possessions and who they want to give it to. This is what the Lord has done. This is what God did. In the Old Testament, he gave man all kinds of promises and inheritances. Yeah. But it required something. And in the New Testament, the same thing. It still requires something. Both the term Old Covenant or Old Testament. Covenant and Testament are the same meaning, same Greek word. And so what's required is death. Death is required to inherit a will, Amen. To inherit a covenant. Right. Yeah. So Christ had to die for us. So God loves us. He died for us. And then he gave us all of his riches. Amen. No other God is like this. Who does this? Right. Who does this, brother? Seriously. Amen. And then, so we're going to go through a list of verses here in point B, 1-4, that I just, whoever has them, really share with a strong spirit. These are facts. These are absolutely guaranteed. I did want to point out that if someone doesn't believe that there's inheritance, we're not going to rise up to claim it. Yeah. We have to believe that there's an inheritance for us. Yeah. It doesn't require faith to actually, it takes faith to receive it, but to actually, if I had a will and I died and somebody handed it to Bob, then he has the will, but he has no idea. He has to have faith to claim it, but I can still hand it to him. It still remains that there's a will, and there's all kinds of riches in that will. So anyway, we'll read point B here. By grace, all of God's works or facts are complete through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the New Testament reveals, number one, we are saved. Hallelujah. Who has Hebrews 9:12? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His own blood, once for all. Fact. His blood, once for all. We did nothing to do this. We have no part in this. We can't earn it. We can't do anything. We just receive it. Just a fact. Number two, we are justified. To be justified is, I think of it as just as if I'd never sinned. I'll say it again. Just as if I had never sinned. I'd never sinned. Justified. And so when you think of a judge, I mean, I think most of us probably know what justification is, but I really just appreciate justifying is taking someone out of an unrighteous situation and bringing them out. But in this case, we couldn't be brought out. The Lord stepped in and said, I will be the righteousness. We were doomed. In fact, we were doomed. We were darkness. We had no hope. The fact is the Lord stepped in front and said, don't worry about this. I've got it. And the judge says, I'll accept that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, so Galatians 2:6.
Oh, 2:16 you mean?
Or yeah, sorry, 2:16. Yeah, I wrote it wrong in the outline. Amen.
Not out of the works of law.
Amen.
Because out of the works of law, no flesh will be justified.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that verse so much because if I asked you, I don't want to embarrass anyone or put anyone out, so I'm not going to actually make you raise your hand. If I were to ask you to raise your hand and say, raise your hand if you know you're saved. How many of you would actually be able to honestly raise your hand and say, without question, I am saved? There is zero doubt. I've been there where I was like, I'm 99% sure I'm saved. I am 99% sure. No, I'm 100% sure I'm saved. And this shows us this, that we didn't have to accomplish anything. What a pitiful salvation we would have if God said we have to do something first, or that it can be revoked, or that there was stipulations involved. The stipulation was death, and we have that. We have the death of Christ. This is a fact. Right. We have the death of Christ. That's all we need.
Amen.
Amen. We are reconciled. Amen. Romans 5:10. Actually, it's probably it says 8 through 11 because it comes in here several times. So who wants to read it? Whoever had, did I give it to anyone? Yeah, 8 through 11, yeah. Amen.
Much more than having now been justified in his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath. For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more we will be saved in his life, having been reconciled. Yeah. Not only so, but also boasting in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen. Yeah. Boasting in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We don't boast in ourselves. We don't boast in a Pope who saves us and we can confess our sins. We boast in our Christ.
Amen.
We have this fact, this glorious fact. We have the Christ of life.
Amen.
Christ of salvation. Christ of justification and reconciliation.
Amen.
So what did the Lord, and the fourth point here, all four of these points are nothing we did of our own.
Yeah.
We can take no part in it. We just receive it again.
Yeah.
So we are redeemed, whoever has Galatians 4, 5, and 7.
That he might redeem those under law, that we might receive the sonship. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
And you are no longer a slave, but a son.
Amen.
A son and heir also through God.
Amen. So we were cursed under the law to die.
That's right.
But the Lord, fact, redeemed us out of this. He redeemed us out of the law, out of the usurping hand of Satan. And he made us, he elevated that to make us sons. How wonderful. We're sons now. We're his children through this redemption. And this is like in Luke 15 where, at the end of Luke 15, it talks about the prodigal son. And we've all heard that a lot. And a lot of times we focus on the son who left, spoiled his inheritance, came back, the father clothed him. We should not discourage anyone from enjoying that portion because it's valuable and it shows us the love of God. But even more what the love of God is in the son, the older son. There's actually more preciousness there because it says, how come you didn't give me, I forget how it's worded, but he says, how come you didn't give me a goat that I can be merry with my friends? And the father says, In Luke 15:31, all that is mine is yours. Before that, he tells them, you didn't ask. I would have given you 1,000 goats that you might be married with your friends, but you didn't know your place in my house.
Wow.
You didn't know. You had no clue of your position. Saints, your position is in the house of God.
Yeah.
If you believe, you are in his house.
Yeah.
Do you know that you're the son of the richest man in the universe?
Amen.
You're the richest person I've ever met, brother.
Amen.
He is too.
Amen.
Amen. I'll never see that parable again. No one will ever teach that. You'll never hear that anywhere else, I promise. They always talk about the other son, but the son who was older, had all the rights, said he had to be a slave.
Yeah.
God never asked us to be a slave. He said, receive. Amen. Let's all read Roman numeral 2 together. The facts of God's word are immutable, unbiased, and binding. No one in heaven or on earth can change it. God is not a liar.
His word is true.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I do want to point out just one verse before that. It says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I'll just leave that at that. I think it speaks for itself. Amen. Who has John 5:24?
Okay. So truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.
Amen. What are those first two words?
Truly, truly.
I'm sorry?
Truly, truly.
What is it? Just kidding. Truly, truly. What does this mean? What is truly, if you had to say what truly, truly means is, what would you think, what would you say?
Truth.
Right.
True.
I lie that I gave you salvation. No, he says truly, truly. God is not a liar. Satan's a liar. Satan is the liar, convincing you that you're not saved. Now you have a whole list of facts that show you're saved if you believe. Who can say, who can Satan speak against you? No, he cannot speak against you. His mouth is shut because of the facts. And so I just appreciate the word immutable. This word just stuck in me. I was like, what is this word? I had to use the word. Unchanging, unwavering, all kinds of words. But immutable. So it is unchanging, but it means it's also non-transferable. It means that no one else can claim it, that no one else can change it, no one else can alter it. It's impossible to be changed. It's unbiased because in John 3:16 he says it's for the whole world. You know, so I appreciate it. And then binding, a will is a binding document. The covenant, the blood, is a binding blood. God's word is binding. If he said he would do something, he will do it. Amen. He will not be shamed by the enemy.
Yeah.
Amen. Point A, our belief in the Lord Jesus is not like gambling, winning when we are lucky and losing when we are not lucky. The salvation that comes through believing in the cross of the Lord Jesus is fully guaranteed. We do not have to wait until we die before we know if we are saved or not. We can know this now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In John 3:16, the aim, God had an aim. Who was he aiming at when he said this? Who was the Lord referencing? I mean, it wasn't the Lord speaking, it was John. But who was he referencing? In John 3:16, who is he pointing to? Who is this word directed at? What was that? The world. Whoever believes.
Amen.
Whoever believes.
Amen.
God is not biased. He's biased for his children. I guess I say he's biased, but... Amen. Whoever has John, 1 John 5:13. Did I give it to anyone? Maybe not. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was the other one. Yeah. You want to go read it again?
1 John 5:13. I have read these things that you may know, that you have eternal life.
Amen.
To you who believe in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Point B, there are two ways we may know the Word of God. So this objectively, as the written facts on the page, which is the logos, the Greek word is logos, and then which is demonstrated in 1 Timothy 2:4 and John 1:1, which is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this word, logos, is actually used in John 1:1. This is an objective knowing. And subjectively, as the personal, so this is, most people would say the instant, rhema is the instant living speaking, but in our personal experience of the Lord's redemption, it is actually himself revealed as the Word. The Word led man out of the wilderness. The Word brought man to safety. The Word is God's will. And he is not changing it. It's binding. So I just appreciate that as the personal, that subjectively, that we can know the personal revelation of God as the Word.
Amen.
Who has Philippians 3:10? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, to know him. What's our objective knowledge of him? What's our subjective knowledge? Again, the pillar five, the two pillars. One was an objective knowledge of the word, and the other was the subjective knowledge, subjective experience of the one experiencing it. On one side of the pillar was cloud for Pharaoh to blind him and block him and protect the children of Israel. On the other side, the children were in glory with the fire of God. They didn't know any death or destruction behind them. They didn't have to focus on that, because they had the Word of God as their standing. Amen. Let's see. We cannot have the subjective knowing without first receiving the objective knowing concerning the person of Christ. This is probably my favorite part, so I'll have to do this in kind of a quick order here. So Romans, you already read Romans 5, 8 through 11. He's our salvation. So as our guarantee, Hebrews 7, 22. Amen. Jesus. Jesus is the surety of God's covenant.
Amen.
Not mine. I didn't do anything, but Christ is my surety.
Right.
He's my stand. This is another fact. Let's see. He's the mediator of this covenant. Hebrews 9:15.
And because of this, he is the mediator of a new covenant.
Amen.
So that death, having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant,
Amen. So we have an inheritance, but he's not only the author of the will through the Son, he's also the one arbitrating and mediating between God and man. He's the go-between, making sure that everything that God has desired is fulfilled.
Amen.
And we just receive it. As promised, John, 1 John 2:25. Amen. He promised us. What did he promise us?
Eternal life.
This is an eternal covenant. This is not a man-made covenant.
Yeah.
This is an eternal covenant. If God was not a man incarnate, it would not have been effective.
Yeah.
We needed an eternal sacrifice.
Amen.
Christ has done that. We've seen that Christ is the one who died, and Christ is the one who is our promise. And then we have our inheritance here. Colossians 1:12.
Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen. I'd like to go into Christ as the good land, because that really is a good example of our inheritance. I won't do that. I have like 5 minutes. but I just appreciate he's our inheritance. He's not just giving us an inheritance. God himself is our inheritance.
Amen.
All of his divine life is our inheritance. This is another fact. And life, John 14:6.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the reality and the life.
Amen.
To the Father except through me."
Right. No one comes except through me. He is our life. We're inheriting life. He's also the life that brings us out of death. Read Roman numeral 3. Today we have a new covenant testament of which Jesus Christ is both the testator and mediator. This covenant was established by the blood of the Lamb, God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. So I just appreciate the word, the term testator. He's the author, and he's the mediator. He's the one who wrote it. Bob knows about testators. You probably deal with it all the time with wills and stuff. I mean, it's the person guaranteeing that whatever is theirs will be someone else's, and no one can alter that except the author. And God is not unjust. So he sees the blood and he says, it's so sufficient. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, he had to have something. I appreciate it. I put a note here, and I don't remember why I wrote it, but I just appreciate it. In terms of what's coming up here, we have this new old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant required the blood of goats and lambs, and required blood. Still, the new covenant requires blood, but it required something else, the perfect sacrifice. There was an atonement in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, the new covenant with man, we have salvation. Salvation is promised to man. And so, like the priest in the temple, they had every year, they would have to give a new sacrifice. I want to see right now, saints, the preciousness and the freshness of the sacrifice. This was a once for all. The Lord has sat down.
Amen.
He's done the work. This is an eternal sacrifice. It doesn't have to be offered ever again. And so, we'll go ahead here. Every covenant has its conditions. The old covenant also had its demands. When man came short of these requirements, he sinned. This is why the Lord Jesus had to die on behalf of those in the first covenant and redeem them from their sins. Romans 8:2-4.
For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. For that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness required of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Right. Amen. We have point B. Christ fulfilled all the requirements of the first covenant, terminated it, and initiated the new covenant. This is Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Let's all read. I actually appreciate point C quite a bit here. Let's all read it together. The death and resurrection of Christ happened 20 centuries ago, but the eternal cross remains fresh in its effectiveness and preciousness. Hebrews 10:12.
But this one, having offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down forever
Amen. Hallelujah. He sat down. It's fresh. It's new. It's not something old. Christ is not old. He is eternal. It's an eternal covenant, meaning it's something that's everlasting and fresh. These are facts today. Everything I presented to you is not something we can do ourselves, and they can become our reality. We need a way to, we have to have faith to do it, and to get that, it's good to have the experience of these things.
Yeah.
Because the experiences solidify the facts. They don't make the facts any less real, but they solidify in our person, the person of Christ. And I'll read point D. When Christ died on the cross, his blood became our fact. It is what satisfies the Father. Because of the cross, the veil was torn, and we now have unlimited access to the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Amen. So you have all these verses that you can go back and you can read. And I encourage you to read them again and again and again and never stop until the Lord comes or you go. Either way, never stop reading them. Never stop. They're precious to us. They prove of God's eternal love. They prove the fact that God is love. These show us that we are saved, that the enemy is in the lake of fire and he's a no good liar. He tricked Eve. He tricked Eve, right? She believed the lie. But we don't have to.
Yeah.
We have the facts.
Yeah.
Jesus declared, I am free.
Yeah.
Jesus has given me the fact of his blood. And so I just appreciate that an ordinary person cannot enter into the Holy of Holies. Takes a priest of God. Mm. But what did he do? He made us priests so we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's enter.
Amen.